Welcome to Sweet Kicks with Bricks, the show which helps you decide if a game is worth spending your hard-earned money on or a try before you buy. Now here's your host, Barry Ricks.
Hey guys, welcome to Sweet Kicks with Bricks. I am your host, Barry Ricks, and today's Kickstarter highlight is Stay Out of My Dungeon! And I have the mastermind behind the game. I have Paul with me. How's it going, Paul?
Oh, it could not be going any better.
Well, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to come and join me today.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
Awesome. Well, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about who you are, and then we'll go from there.
Sure. Who I am. Not very interesting. Who I am. I'm some sort of combination of nerdy insurance guy with a penchant for math and in a drive to create, which has led me to, I guess, creating board games at this point in my life, from woodworking and music to now here I am making board games. So that's a little bit about who I am.
So you're insurance man by day, but board game maker by night.
If that were a superhero, that's something along the lines of how I would be described, yes.
Awesome. And so are you also the creator of then Two Handsome Games?
Correct. Two Handsome Games sort of started as, I guess you could say, a hobby. The real history is we started playing video games, my buddies and I, back in high school. We actually played before, but playing too much in high school eventually led to board games. And eventually we started making games unofficially. And then eventually we started, you know, making games more officially. And then we decided, hey, we should actually try to actually make games for real and potentially be good at it. And that's sort of where Two Handsome Games stemmed from.
Awesome. And so is Stay Out of My Dungeon your guys' first venture into Kickstarter then?
No, actually, so there's a funny answer to that. Stay Out of My Dungeon is not Stay Out of My Dungeon's first venture into Kickstarter, because it itself failed back in May of this year.
Oh, well, there you go.
Stay Out of My Dungeon is actually, this is the second iteration of this campaign. But to answer your question, we've actually had two other campaigns on Kickstarter. One that funded, but barely funded, and the other that didn't, but sold whatever, a number of copies after the fact. And, you know, we got some really positive feedback from that game. But we actually have, we kickstarted Ready Check, a game that sort of spoofs the guild building process in massively multiplayer online role-playing games, which we enjoyed playing.
Nice.
And then we learned the market was a little too niche to be kickstarting. That and or the game just stunk. We don't know. And the other one was Gossip, which was sort of hidden identity. Think like Bang meets the Office Place sort of game, where you don't know who's who, and it's about spreading rumors at the water cooler.
Awesome.
We thought it was funny, light, easy. But like I said, that one funded. Ready Check didn't. And then we decided to make a serious game, and sort of that's where... So when I say serious, it's air quote serious, but that's where Stay Out of My Dungeon is.
Awesome. Well, and let's talk about Stay Out of My Dungeon. So on the Kickstarter, it's described as a worker placement hidden identity building game. So explain that to us. What is Stay Out of My Dungeon?
Sure. So, yeah, there's you left out the fun part. So don't forget, it's a fun worker placement hidden identity building game. Stay Out of My Dungeon is essentially... You play as sort of zany, aloof goblins trying to defend their dungeon from, you know, the evildoers. Evildoers in this case are usually the people that you traditionally play when you're playing a board game. You're
heroes.
The dungeon delvers. Exactly. Would-be heroes is the best way to describe it. There's would-be heroes, and then because we are fans of sort of the absurd, we don't mind really stretching the player's sense of disbelief. And we don't mind, you know, would-be hero is a great person to come invade a dungeon because there's some sort of precedent for it. But we don't mind if a bunch of cats with bandanas show up also trying to raid your dungeon, or if an insurance adjuster shows up because I have to put myself in my games.
Of course.
Or, you know, if any other combination of weird thing happens or goes on, it doesn't matter. One of the things that we did actually care about were the mechanics in the game, which we can talk about in a second. But to your point, worker placement, hidden identity building game. So essentially, what you're trying to do is beef up your dungeon before the King's Guard shows up. So there's a king, and he's going to send his royal guard out to come invade your dungeon, and you get so many it's not necessarily turns or time in the sense that we measure time, but it's more like things in the game that progress a doomsday track, which we call the invasion tracker. And if that reaches zero before you complete all of your buildings or defending all of your or building up all the locations that defend your dungeon, then the game is, you know, over. And potentially the bad guy wins, the spy wins, because in the game there is hidden identities. Little history on the hidden identity. Back in May, you were either a loyal goblin or a spy working for the king. And that worked really well. We had the game really balanced, and it was really fun, but strictly five players. Four, it was a little too easy. Six, it was a little too hard. Or the other way around, depending on the perspective. Four, it was a little too hard. Six, it was a little too easy. And so, you know, we thought, whatever, it's a five-player game, no big deal. And then we got tons of feedback about it. You can't have just a five-player game. We can't always get five people in my gaming group. It's really hard to get just five. And so we heard this a lot. And so we thought, man, what are we going to do about this? So what we ended up doing was soliciting feedback, honestly, from our backers at the time. And a few of them in particular were extremely helpful. And they had all sorts of ideas about, playing with the idea of having a loyalty type, but don't have it be binary. Why is it either loyal or spy, right? And that was something that it's one of those things for it was absurd and outside of the box we wanted to be with this game. Yeah. It's really funny that we held ourselves to, well, you're either loyal or spy, right? And so now there's loyal and spy, but within the loyal, there's selfish jerk and there's actually anarchist, and they have their own win conditions. And this added an amazing element to the game because the third element, building, which we'll get to in a second, basically the way you play is you draw cards and they have values on them. You place the cards face down, and then once you have enough cards in a pile, you reveal them. If the sum is high enough, you increase the progress tracker. And of course, while all that's going on, you have invasions and you have all these other things you got to deal with. And it's really fun. And it can be light and it can be heavy. It depends on how you want to play the game. But the hidden identity aspect, breaking away from binary, just made the game so much richer because it's no longer, oh, if someone's putting a low value construction there, they must be a spy.
They must be a spy, yeah.
Right. Now it's, well, this person has a win condition, and the only way this person can win is, yeah, invasion tracker needs to not reach zero, but this person also wants to make sure that they're in a spot to be the last one to have built the dungeon or the location, because the last player that does it gets a reward for it. And the selfish jerk wants to collect those. And so now you have to think, well, was it a spy? Was it a selfish jerk? Or was it simply the fact that this person actually just happened to draw low value construction cards? Yeah. And it really just sort of changed the way the game was played. And so that covered, I think, worker placement, hidden identity, and building is, yeah, it's a building game. You get construction cards and you place them face down, and then once enough are down, you reveal them. So two of the locations are progressed that way.
Awesome. So with the players, are you just playing as goblins, or do you have people playing the would-be heroes, or is it kind of the players playing against the game?
Great question. For right now, it is the players playing against the game. We are potentially toying with ideas for a potential sequel to this, although that's not in the works for construction, but while we go through this Kickstarter campaign and we're doing all the things that we're doing for this campaign, one of the things that we did think about was actually, hey, you know, if we do decide to have a sequel to this game, if an idea comes along, let's not just lose it and wait until our idea session later to come up with it. Let's make sure we keep track. And excuse me, that was actually one of the ideas that came up, was potentially you could have someone on actually the other side. And it's just, again, playing with that idea of, we don't want to be inside of a box with the game. It can be anything we want. We fully acknowledge that this game is cartoony and it's absurd and it doesn't have to make sense, provided the one thing we do want to hold ourselves to is the mechanics are strong enough that when you do play it, you do actually have those moments of, wow, this game has some depth to it. It's not just pigs with dynamite trying to storm your dungeon.
Which is okay too, so you know.
Yeah.
So as we're recording today, you guys actually have quite a bit of time left to go on your Kickstarter. You have 38 days to go. It's not set to end until November 28th, so the end of November. Yep. After, you know, Thanksgiving and everything. But you guys, on this go around, since, you know, we have learned that you tried to do this earlier this year, you guys are more than successfully funded. You are like 500% funded.
Yes. We're 500% funded this time. Again, I attribute a lot of that to, God, I almost want to say all of it. But we did so much work from the first campaign, but a lot of it stemmed from the feedback that we got. So we were surprised when the first campaign didn't do well, because we sat there and went, you know, this is like a fun game. It's light. We do think there's some unique elements to it. We incorporated, we thought, a lot of different ideas. And, like, you know, being honest, board games are all derivative. They're all derivative, and it's very hard to be unique.
Yes.
You know, and we sent this game out this time. We didn't do it last time. We knew it was a unique game. But we sent it out after the first failed Kickstarter to five different review sites, basically. And we said, please have a look. We'll send you hard copies of our game. Just understand, you know, it's placeholder art. We don't have the funding for art, and the graphic design is going to be crummy. Just play the game. We want your opinion of the game. Just let us know what you think. And we sent them all hard copies. And overwhelmingly, the feedback was, and you should know this if you look at our campaign, because we force it down the viewer's throat. Basically, we say, look what people are saying. A lot of people are saying, hey, you know what? There's actually something kind of unique here. And we liked that. And we felt really strong about that in the first iteration. So to be honest, it's not like, you know, we were like devastated that the first one didn't work out. We were a little surprised, but we took a hard look at ourselves. We took a hard look at the game after getting a lot of the feedback we got. Like, I'll give you, like I mentioned, introducing Selfish Jerk and the Anarchist, a huge change. We took a look at those things. And you know, it made us realize, okay, yeah, it's hard to not love your design, right? It's hard to not feel like defensive about it, or like you want it to do well, right? But being honest really helps. And so we changed the game, we got some reviews, and then we learned that maybe the way you kickstart is by thinking about the backer's perspective. And so we thought, let's, instead of approaching it the way we approached all of our other Kickstarters, which was, here's our game, here's why it's good, here's why it's different or funny or light or whatever, here's why it's something that you would want, you, whoever it is that wants this, rather than approaching it that way, which is almost like imposing our perspective on the backer, we thought, okay, let's just put ourselves in the shoes of a typical backer. What are they going to see? How much time do they have to see our game? Could we possibly explain the nuance of the Selfish Jerk interactions at the moat to somebody who has, you know, 10 seconds, 20 seconds, 30 seconds? And what we decided was, this was a part of the reason we wanted to go out to the review sites. We decided, well, rather than do that, let's have sites out there that are known for reviewing games come back to us with their feedback, and that's what we'll tell people. And so we almost sort of took ourselves out of it, and we're like, we're not going to tell you anything. Forget it. You don't care what I say. No one knows who I am. I'm Paul, and I live in Boston. Who cares, right? But there are these people out there who really, really love board games so much. They review them all the time, and they –
credible,
like,
sources.
Like you. Yes, there are credible sources out there, and I'm going to let you know what they said. And I'm going to do it in the amount of time that I think you're – the maximum amount of time I think you're going to spend on my page, which for most, I think if you were to somehow take it, like, I don't know if you could actually calculate this, but I bet the median amount of time spent on our page is probably on the order of tens of seconds.
Yeah,
there's probably so many people who are like 10 seconds and done, or 5 seconds and done.
I'm sure Kickstarter has some sort of statistics out there.
I would love it. Being the in my line of work, I statistics,
that's right.
And
you're
that
a number,
stuff's
you're
great
a number
for me.
Guy.
I'm a numbers guy, yeah. So, but anyway, so, you know, we approached it from that perspective, and I think it just was, it's really night and day. Again, you take one of those hard looks in the Kickstarter mirror, if you will, and we look at the May campaign versus this campaign, totally different.
Yeah.
Just not even close. Presentation, everything is just so different, and it's more geared towards the backer rather than this almost selfish, hey, this is my game and this is why it's great. Perspective.
Well, that's the great thing about Kickstarter, is that you do get that perspective that you wouldn't get if you were just publishing the game yourself.
For sure.
You know, you're getting the feedback you need. You want to know what essentially your client wants. You know, this is what you want. Okay, well, we'll look at it, see how we can tweak it up a little bit. You know, Kickstarter has definitely created that type of community, especially within the board gaming world, because I think a lot of board games nowadays wouldn't exist if it wasn't for Kickstarter. And just being able to see that generate all these wonderful products and people getting behind them and having their, you know, essentially their voices heard in an aspect. So I think that's a very smart thing for you guys to do, to say, hey, backers, what do you want? And let's see if it can work.
Yeah, and so just underlining that point, if you looked at our pledge goals, most of which are sold out at this point, we really, really, really wanted to thank our backers for all of the help they gave us in May, so much so we said, you know what? Why don't we let them name the goblins? Why don't we let them name the locations? Why don't we let them design some invaders and design some weapons and design some armors, armor and other equipment? Why don't we let them do all this stuff? So we set those pledge goals, and I think almost all of them have sold out already. Awesome. And then actually I had realized we had unlocked another player character, so I actually increased the Name Your Goblin pledge from, I think it was 6 before, now to 7. And within 2 days or so, it already sold out. So somebody must have scrolled down and noticed that there was one left, and it just got backed earlier this morning, or just got pledged earlier this morning. Yeah, so, you know, we really do embrace the community, and we cannot thank them enough. And our nod of the hat is, well, two things. As hard as this is, every single backer that backs us, we do send them a little thank you note, which, you know, at first we thought we were going to get like 50 people. So when you push an 800-something... before all the cancellations, it's kind of a lot. But we try to send them all, you know, a little thank you note. We have the comments section, which we're pretty active with. We're trying to stay active with updates and offer them so many ways to, you know, basically get their names in the game. I think that's what Kickstarter is all about, rather than, as you said, hey, just publish something on your own and, you know, hope it sells.
Definitely. Well, I mean, the game looks fantastic. Obviously, there's a lot of passion and a lot of, you know, thought that goes into it. You guys are successfully funded. We know this game, the campaign ends at the end of November. So in a timeline perspective, when do you hope to have the game out to the backers? And do you guys have any plans to bring it into general retail?
So, yes. When do we hope to have it out? Obviously, as soon as possible. I actually did just send an update out, I think 2 days ago, because it was wrapping up the work that I had done last week, which was basically talking with manufacturers and getting hard deadlines. Now that we have, well, not now, we've already had, of course, the game is done. Primarily, all this Kickstarter is about is getting art for it. But we have a graphic designer secured. His name is Adam. He's from Lost Age, I believe, and he's actually kickstarting something soon. But I won't say anything about it yet, but we have secured a graphic designer, and he's fantastic, and we're just underway getting all of the graphic design for basically the entire game taken care of. We're still thinking about illustrators and artists for actually the main art pieces, not just the actual graphic design. We obviously have Azzy, who's done the art for us. He's done Ready Check, etc. And I guess to answer your question regarding timelines, I've heard back from one of three manufacturers that I've whittled it down to, and they have somewhere around a 4-month process to get everything manufactured and ready to go. And then at that point, you have to work with distribution. And then distribution is, I have one company that I've worked with that I'm talking to that I really enjoy. They were very nice to work with, except they're a little pricey, but they were very nice to work with. And then I have some other options, which games like Karmica have used, and other games like Send from China and those sorts of things. And so those are some other alternatives as well. Those might add on another month and a half to 2 months. But all told, I think campaign ends in November. If graphic design and art is done by end of the year, then it could be an April to June deliverable. However, things will go wrong and things will come up, and it's just the way
it
works.
The case, yep.
Yeah. And so, you know, I don't want to overpromise and underdeliver here. I do think a realistic estimate is somewhere in the April to June timeframe. I don't even remember. Did we put June? I think we put June down. Yeah, we put June 2017 because, again, I don't want to say April, have it come out.
Exactly.
And then feel like we did something wrong, you know?
Yep. So let's, so June, you know, is the time to expect to get this in the mail for everybody. So, Paul, thank you for taking time out of, obviously, your busy schedule, your day job, and also your nighttime superhero business of making board games, and coming on the show today and telling us a little bit more about Stay Out of My Dungeon.
All right, it's been a pleasure.
All right, and thanks you also to Dan Patrice. He's Dan the Board Game Man. You can find him at the Geek All-Stars. He created our intro and outro, and we're grateful for that. And, of course, always remember to back your projects wisely.
Thanks for listening to Sweet Kicks with Bricks. If you'd like to mail the show, send any questions, comments, or interview requests to sweetkickswithbricks@gmail.com. Sweet Kicks with Bricks is a Closet Geek Studios production. For more information on The Closet Geek, please head to closetgeek.net.